Okay, morning. Today's Daf and Chulin is Daf Gimel. We are in Beis Amud Beis. We are at the bottom of the Amud, and we're finishing up answer number one. Answer number one to a question which will take up today's Daf and yesterday's Daf. It's 2 days of Daf. Yomi exploring the following. The Mishnah taught us yesterday, the first Mishnah of Chulin, that everyone can shech takol shochtin. Now that gives the indication that the shechita can be done afilu chatchila, even from an a priori standpoint. No hesitation whatsoever, no reservation. Next phrase of the Mishnah, v'shchitas and k'shera, well, that is, seems to indicate b'di'evit. Well, l'chatchil, they shouldn't check, but if they do so, so then that would be fine. And so the tension that exists between the first and the second phrase of the Mishnah is, in fact, it's real. It's a real tension, whether or not the Mishnah meant l'chatchil or whether it meant b'di'evit. There are two other phrases in the Mishnah. I'm just going to go over them right now because we're going to keep hearing the refrain again and again. Third phrase of the Mishnah is that, except chereshot v'katan, they can't shech shema yikaklu because the chances are is that they're going to do something that will, I'm going to say disturb the shechita, but it's more than disturb the shechita, ruin the shechita, which we're going to explain better over the course of this morning. And finally, the Mishnah's last phrase, v'kulan. And in all these cases above, sheshachtu v'achemaron oso shechita sakshir, whereas if you have somebody standing over watching the shechita, so the shechita would in fact be good. So what we have now in the Mishnah are four statements of the Mishnah, but the real tension of the Mishnah is between the first and the second stage, second phrase of the Mishnah. How do you deal with that tension? So we are going to have over the course of today's daf and yesterday's daf six approaches. We are finishing up the first of the six approaches this morning, and then for the rest of today, we're going to go over approaches 2 through 6. Let us reacquaint ourselves with the first approach of the Gemara. That was Rava Bar Ula. Rava Bar Ula, yesterday's daf and Beis Amud Beis, made the following suggestion of how to understand the Mishnah. The first clause of the Mishnah, when it says that you can shecht afilu chatchila, we're talking about somebody who's tamei. Somebody who's tamei can shecht, so how could he shecht if he's tamei? Isn't the animal itself going to become tamei after the shechita? So yes, the answer is yes, probably. I went from yes to probably. Do you like that? So the animal is going to become tamei. But if it's a regular chulin animal, so what? So the chulin animal becomes tamei. We can eat tumah. There's no problem with us eating tumah. Eretz Yisrael may present a problem, but we can eat food that's tamei. What if it is chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh? Let's say we are training ourselves how to go to the Beis Hamikdash, how to eat karbanos. So therefore, in our training period, we're going to treat all of our chulin like shenasa al taras hakodesh. So like I said yesterday, it's kind of like a neder. It's almost like a personal commitment you're making. Anyway, so that is our first clause of the Mishnah. First clause of the Mishnah, chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh. So even though the person's tummy, he could shecht. Why? So what the Gemara explained yesterday is because he's only touching the knife. He's not touching the animal. So maybe the knife will become tame, which we'll explore more of in just a moment. But in other words, but the animal won't become tame. That's the first clause of the Mishnah. What about the second clause of the Mishnah? That's talking about where it's mamash a carbon. Where it's mamash a carbon. And so now you have somebody who's tame, who's shechting. First of all, right, Tosus pointed out yesterday, and I did not point this out yesterday. First of all, he can't even be in the Azara. But leave that aside, meaning, which in of itself is a great point, but leave that aside. The concern is that if he's tummy and he's shechting a carbon, so if he touches the carbon, the carbon's going to become tummy. That we don't even want to play with that. So lichachilah shouldn't do that. But b'di'evit, if he tells you for that for sure he didn't touch the carbon, so then that would be okay. Those are how to understand the first two clauses of the Mishnah. What bothered a lot of us yesterday, which is about to bother the Gemara, is I don't understand. The knife that he's holding right now is a metal blade. And we know, just like I told you this numerous times, right? Now that we have this thing called electricity, right? I don't know if you heard about it. It's really fantastic. Now that we have this thing called electricity, so it really gets us a better understanding of tumah. Meaning, I'm not comparing the two. It's just to how electricity conducts itself. It's really good. It gets us to wrap our head around tumah even a little bit better. So as far as tumah is concerned, so metal is a phenomenal conductor. Normally, how does tumah transmit from one item to another? So normally what happens when tumah is transmitted from one item to another is it drops down a level. So let's say the person in question is an avatumah. So he touches a food, the food's a rishon l'tumah. And that food, if it touches another food, is a sheni l'tumah. V'chule v'chule. And every time the tumah goes from one item to another, so it drops down a degree. However, when it comes to a knife, a metal blade, so there is no drop-off. Meaning that the tumah that the person has is the same degree of tumah that the knife is going to have. So even if the person didn't touch the animal per se after the shechita, but the knife did and he's touching the knife, and so what you have now is the perfect conductor of tumah, And so therefore, how did all this help us? And that's the Gemara's question. And let's see the Gemara inside. And this is where we left off yesterday, on the very bottom of Beis Amid Beis. Hai Tamei De'idma B'mai. The person who's Tamei, who's Shechting, what kind of tumah does he have? Ilema de itmei b'meis. So we're talking about tumas meis. So bechala chareva merachmana. So the Gemara says, so there chala chareva. Meaning we know the halacha is that when somebody has tumas meis and he comes into contact with a blade, so chareva harehu kechalal. That the cherev is going to have the same status as the halal. Now, the truth of the matter is that we're really talking about how if the blade comes into contact with the mace, so the blade has the same status as the mace. Now, what status does the mace have? So we know the halach is that a mace has the status of avia vosa tuma. It is the grandfather of tuma. It's the granddaddy of tuma. Probably a better way to say it. So in other words, the mace comes into contact with anything. So generally speaking, it drops down to an avatuma. Right, so if you and I were to touch a mace, we are now an avatama. But the blade touching the mace, that's avia vosatama. And so thereby, if I now touch the blade that touched the mace, so I am now an avatama. Over here, it also works in the other direction. Meaning, I'm holding the knife right now, I'm an avatama. I came into contact with the mace, I'm an avatama. The blade that I'm holding now is also an avatama. And so therefore, it's going to transmit the tuma over to the animal. Now, Rashi over here on the top of the Amud points out, I'll let you in a little secret, says Rashi. Even if the blade, let's say, for example, didn't drop down a level, you know all this would still work in terms of transmission of tumah? Rashi in the very top writes, looking at the very top Rashi over here, on Gimel Amud Aleph, tumah shel meis ha-re'uyas l'tamei kli, kagon, meis, v'hanogea bo dehave mia av ha-tumah, im naga behem ma-teches. So Rashi says that if you're touching a blade, a metal blade, so now, nase ki yotze bo. So what's going to happen is that the blade's going to have the same status as you. V'im naga b'meis, have avi avosatoma. And as I explained, but I got it from Rashi, that if the blade were to touch the mace, the blade itself would be an avi avosatoma. V'im b'tame meis naga have av. Now if it's a tame meis touching the blade, so the blade now is an avatoma. Avarishim v'sheni im b'tamem kelim. Now we know the halach is that a rishon hasheni cannot be matam kelim. Now v'hai sakin nase av. So now the blade is an avatoma. Now Rashi goes on and gives us a little bit of a secret, which is, it's not such a secret. V'hai cherev harei kachala hachalo itzrich. Rashi says, I'll tell you the truth. Even if we didn't have that principle, it's the question that Gemara is asking right now is still a powerful question. Why? The belav hachinami matzi matami basar degavre havi avatoma v'sakin rishon u'basar sheni. Because consider, even without the principle of cherev harehu kechalal, and even if, now this is an if, but just imagine, if the knife, let's say, were to drop down a level in tuma, you came into contact with the mace, so you're an avatoma. The knife that you touch is a rishon l'tuma. Fine. In other words, a rishon kamimitami food, rendering the food a sheni l'tuma. So the truth of the matter is, says Rashi, even without the principle, the question is a very good question. It's a strong question. El rabusa kamadafila rishon have hai basar. But over here, though, in other words, the Gemara is just simply expressing the chiddush, which is the knife has the same status as a person. Person's an avatoma. The knife is an avatoma. Now the meat that it comes into contact with is a rishon l'tuma. And what we have now is a serious problem. So how is you holding the knife but not touching the animal, how is that going to help vis-a-vis tumah? Answers, just do me a favor. Let me first get through the Gemara, and then I'll pause, I'll take questions. So cherev harei kachala avatumahu. So litme sakin v'azul sakin v'tima sela basar. So let now the knife then in turn transmit the tumah over to the animal, and that's it. And so if the tummy person didn't touch the animal, so what? The tumah still should have been transmitted. So Eladid me b'sheret. So the Gemara gives a couple of suggestions. One suggestion, says the Gemara, is that we're not talking about tumas meis, we're talking about tumas sheretz. This idea that when you're touching a knife and the knife is going to have the same status as you, that's only when the tumah is tumas meis. But if it's tumas sheretz, so that's not true. In other words, the knife does not have your degree of tumah. Now consider, so you came into contact with the sheretz. The sheretz is an avatumah. What does that make you? That makes you now a rishon l'tuma. Oh, so you're only a rishon l'tuma, so you cannot transmit that tuma over to the knife. The knife then in turn is not going to transmit the tumah over to the animal. That would be one suggestion. Ibaisem, another suggestion of the Gemara. Lolam dit me bemesik gugon shabada kru mishol kana v'shachaba. The Gemara says, or we could say as follows. Maybe the tumah is in fact tumas meis. So what about the question about the knife being the conductor of the tumah? We're talking about a knife that's not metal. We're talking about a knife that is krumishel kana, is basically the sharp edge of a reef, right? The reef over here in question is because it'll be sharp and it'll be strong enough where basically it can create a serration right through the neck of the animal. Ditanya, in fact, the Brisa tells us later, we're going to see this later in the Masechta, Bakol shochtim beimitzor beimitzchuches beimikrumishel kana. As far as what instrument I use to shecht, so you could use whatever instrument you want. You could use a stone. You could use glass. You can even use the edge of a reed. I said a reef before. Whatever. You could use the edge of a reed. So all these things would be acceptable items in which to shecht with. So over here, if you're using a reed, so a reed is not going to be a conductor of tumah. The special halacha of halal hu kecherev is only regarding metal, not regarding a reed. And that would be another suggestion of the Gemara in terms of how it is that the tumah is not going to transmit from you, the person who's tamei, to the animal in question. You want to see an interesting tosis over here. I'm not going to go through it right now, but the top tosis over here wonders, you know, that by karbanos, because remember, we're talking not only about chulin, we're also talking about karbanos over here, because that's how Rabba Bar Ula explained our Mishnah. In other words, phrase one of the Mishnah is talking about chulin shenasa taras hakodesh, and phrase number two of the Mishnah is talking about actual carbon itself. So we're talking about using a reed to shecht the carbon. By carbon, don't I need a knife which serves as a kli sharis? So see Tosfos on the top, who discusses that question. Okay, so that all brings us now to the end of approach number one. So approach number one tells us that the tension in the Mishnah, Hakol Shochtin, that's talking about where a tummy person were to shecht, and Shechitas and Kshere, that's also talking about a tummy person who's shechting. What's the difference between one and two? One is talking about where it's Chulin Shenasa al Taras HaKodesh, and two is talking about where it's actual carbon itself. Okay, good. Number two, and we're, yeah, go ahead.
With regards to the knife and the halacha that you said that it gets tumah.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, that's derived from chere. Chere is a sword, right? So how do you extend from a sword to a knife?
Wait, I don't understand your question.
The source for the knife.
A metal. It's a metal instrument.
No, but it's the how much it comes from a chere, which is a sword.
Okay,
right?
So,
a knife is not a sword. It's a different object.
Gemara doesn't feel that way. Gemara feels that they're the same. The same. In fact, there's some Rishonim who say it doesn't even have to be metal, but I don't want to go there because I want to keep this as simple as possible. But anyway, no, the Gemara views the sword and the knife the same. Okay. Number two. Our second suggestion of this morning is going to be based on Abaye Amar Hachi. Hachi Ketani. So here's how we're going to go. And again, every one of the answers is going to have the same formula. Right, explain the Lechatchila, explain the Bidiyavit, explain the third phrase of the Mishnah, and then explain the fourth phrase. So we go now step by step. Hakol shochtim v'afilu kusi. So everybody can shechtim, we're coming to include even kusim as well. Okay, so quickly, we've done this so many times, but let's do this again. The history of the kusim. Kusim were a people that came from the town of Kusa. Okay, not the smartest thing I said this morning, but it's correct. It's true. They come from the town of Kusa. When did they come in and who brought them in? So that was Sancheriv. Sancheriv gets credit or blame, whichever you want to say. After conquering the 10 northern tribes, this is during Bais Rishon, so he displaces all the 10 northern tribes, hence the lost 10 tribes. And he replaces them with a group of people from Kusa. This was a maneuver that Sancheriv did by basically redistributing populations, so it'll be hard for people to have an uprising if everyone is displaced. Anyway, so the people now lived in northern Eretz Yisrael were from the place of Kusa, and they were non-Jews, and they were idolaters. And what they did is they brought their idolatry into Eretz Yisrael, and they practiced their idolatries. The Navi goes on to describe how lions went and attacked them, because Eretz Yisrael has very little tolerance for Avodah Zarah, and so the lions attacked them, and so what they did is that, with a little bit of cure of work, so they all converted. They all converted, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu's methods of cure of, a little stronger than you and me, but in other words, okay, good, so they went through a conversion. Now, a big topic that comes up again and again in the first parak of Chulin, it's interesting how Chulin is like the source for this, is a question of their conversion. Good conversion or not a good conversion? In other words, did they eventually wake up and say, hey, we want to be Jewish, or did they just simply say, we don't want to be attacked by lions anymore? And so, Excuse me. Thank you. Thank you. Nachbesser. So the and it's a constant question throughout the Gemara whether they are gerei emes or gerei arayos. The conversion is a sincere one, or that of just simply forced because of the lions. Good. Let's assume for the purpose of this discussion that the Kusi is a Jew. Now we have to, because if it's a non-Jew, if the Kusi is a non-Jew, so they can't shecht at all, which is something we're going to be discussing later in the Masechta. So let's assume that they're good. Now the Kusim, it's just from a sociological standpoint, from a religious standpoint, really fascinating. How are they in terms of mitzvos and their compliance with mitzvos? So they're okay. In other words, without, you know, I'm not going to try to give them the grade because, you know, but I don't have to, by the way, because I know tomorrow's daf, which tomorrow we'll see Mir Hashem. So we're going to see in the Gemara tomorrow, the Gemara is going to try to describe how they are in terms of their compliance with mitzvos. For our purposes right now, let's just say, for simplicity's sake, for sure they're Jewish, meaning that's the position we're holding right now. And as far as their performance of mitzvos is concerned, it's pretty good. Not great, but it's pretty good. And you'll see why I say that for today. And tomorrow the Gemara is going to be even more specific about it. So can a Kusi shecht? So assuming that he's a Jew and the conversion is a good conversion, the answer of course is yes. Meaning why not? But the reservation, the hesitation comes from the following. Abaye says, so now let's see all this in the Mishnah. So Abaye Amar Achi Katani Akol Shochtim Vafilu Kusi. So even the Kusi can shecht. Now Bemet Var Mamur Kishisol Amar Agabav. Now that's only if you have a Jew standing over and watching. But otherwise, no. But if all you have is where the Jew is coming in and out of the store. Now, I don't really mean store over here because we're talking about shachting. But in other words, the schlachhaus, the Jew is coming in and out, but he's not there at a constant presence, and he's only spot checking, so then only b'di'evit. Now, if he shachs it, and you give him a piece of meat, and he eats the piece of meat, so then mutter la'echol mishchita so, so then you can eat it. But lo achlo, but if he refuses to eat the meat, so la'echol mishchita so, so then you can't eat it. Now what is going on over here? So Rashi explains beautifully over here. Look, as far as Akusi is concerned, would he eat the animal if it wasn't shechted properly? No way. No way. Meaning, he's a Jew and he understands that if the animal wasn't shechted properly, the animal's a nevela and eating nevela is an Isser min HaTorah. He wouldn't do it. But here's what wouldn't bother him. Let's say the shechita didn't go well. And you come over and you say, hey, what's it called? I heard you just shechted. Would I be able to have some? And he said, sure. And let's say the shechita didn't go well. So by him giving you a piece of meat, that wouldn't bother him, even though the meat's nevela. Ah, lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol. You can't do that. So as far as the Kusi is concerned, his understanding of lifnei iver is not our understanding. Our understanding of lifnei iver is you can't do that. You can't feed somebody something that's usser. His understanding of lifnei iver, it's a very good understanding. I mean, it's not correct. But in other words, but it works out very good with the pasuk. What the Torah tells us is that if you see that blind guy over there, don't put a stumbling block in front of him as he's walking. That's what lifnei iver means. Now the Kusi's right. That's what lifnei iver means, right? In other words, but for us, in other words, with our Masara, we know that it means much more than that. But as far as the Kusi is concerned, that's all it means. So if he's shechting and nobody's standing over him, right? So then the concern is that the shechita didn't go well. And as far as he's concerned, if he just gives it to you and it's nevela, it doesn't bother him. That's why the test is going to be whether or not he himself is going to eat it. If he eats it, kosher. If he refuses to eat it, clearly it's not kosher. Okay. That is now how to explain number one and two according to Abaye. One, constant supervision. Two, spot checking. Yotze v'nechnas. So the, and even with spot checking, then afterwards, you're going to have to give him a piece to eat, and if he eats it, then it would be okay. Okay, so hold it. It's an excellent question. Chutz mecherishot v'katan, de'afil di'evet namilo. Now, as far as the cherishot v'katan is concerned, no, even b'di'evet they can't shecht. Why not? Shema yishu, shema yijusu, shema yachlidu. Because as we explained yesterday, and we're going to hear this today five separate times. What the katan may end up doing together with the cherishota is they may violate some of the most basic of the psulei shechita. And again, today, let's just quickly reintroduce ourselves. Shehiya taking a pause in the middle of the shechita. So while you're cutting, while you're going back and forth with the knife, so you pause. That's shehiya. Hadrasa, instead of going back and forth, you apply direct frontal pressure, like a chop, right into the neck. That also is the psul. Or chalada, taking the knife, inserting the knife into the neck and cutting the simanim, the trachea and the esophagus, in the reverse in the reverse direction going to the front of the neck. That's what's called chalada. And that would also be disqualification. Those are three of the five disqualifications. Parenthetically, by the way, you notice that the Gemara doesn't mention the other two. So right now, some of us don't even know what the other two is, so that's perfect. So we don't have to worry about it. But if you know what the other two is, why doesn't the Gemara over here or yesterday mention the other two? So Tosus yesterday addressed that question. You could see yesterday's Gemara for a discussion of why the other two are not mentioned. Tosus is on the bottom of Beis Amud Beis. Divra Maskel Shema Yishu. Okay, anyway, but let's continue, whatever. And if you understand what the other two are, you understand why the Gemara is not concerned about them. But in the meantime, however, just finishing up, so Vikulan, now we have to explain the fourth section of the Mishnah. Vikulan Sheshachtu Ahaya, which one is that going on? Ile Mecher Shatavikatan, Alakai. So if it's going just on the most recent, on the third section of the Mishnah, Cher Shatavikatan, what should be the better formulation of the Mishnah? V'im Shachtu. Well, if you're transitioning from section 3 to section 4, so the words transitioning should have read v'im shachtu. And if they shecht, meaning we know who the pronoun is referring to, the they is the chershot v'katan. But that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says v'kulan, seemingly going on everyone mentioned in the Mishnah. So v'im shachtu mi ba'ile ela kusi. So it's going back on the kusi. Ha'amar kishi yisrael min agabav. Shechra filu chathchila. But wait one second. In the way that Abai presented the Mishnah, if you have someone standing over the kusi the entire time, so the kusi can shecht afilu lechatchila, and now you get to the end of the Mishnah and v'kulan that if with all these people including the kusi, if I stand over them, they can shecht, but only b'di'evin. That's not true. If somebody's standing over the kusi, can shecht afilu lechatchila kasha. The Gemara ends off by saying that's really difficult. That's really difficult, and Abaye is left with not a clean way to explain the end of the Mishnah. Now, Amar Rava, Yosef Nichnas Lechachila Lo. Now, Rava takes issue with one of the points that Abaye made, which is that Yosef Nichnas is less than Omer Al Gabav. Omer Al Gabav is constant supervision. You're standing there watching the whole time. Yosef Nichnas, you're coming in and out. So the Gemara says, as far as what we know, Yosef Nichnas is just as good supervision as Omer Al Gabav. Consider what we learned back in Avodah Zarah, Vehatanan. Haminicho Vekochavim Bechanusa Veyisrael Yosef Nichnas Mutter. The Mishnah in the end of Avodah Zarah, we're in the fifth parak of Avodah Zarah, we're talking about Stam Yena. You have a store of wine. The guy cannot be handling the wine, but he's there in the store and he's helping you out. And I back in Avodah Zarah, I also wondered, like, how much of a helper can he be if he can't be handling any of the wine? But anyway, but okay, whatever. There's other things he could do. So he's there, and the halach, and he knows he can't touch the wine. And what if you don't have constant supervision? What if it's just Yotzei V'Nichnas? The Mishnah in Avodah Zarah says, that's fine. All the wine is mutter. Okay, so why? So Rav is asking Abaye, you're making a distinction in our Mishnah between Omer Agabov and Yotzei V'Nichnas? Halachically, it's the same. So the Gemara for a moment tries to deflect and defend Abaye. Hasa mikatani meniach ha meniach katani dievet. So the Gemara says, okay, but read that Mishnah in Avodah Zarah really carefully. It says ha meniach if you left the guy there, meaning you shouldn't have done that. But if you did, so then it's okay. That's only b'dievet. Ah, okay, good. So the Gemara says ela meacha. The Gemara says, okay, yeah, you're, for a moment Abaye is defensible. However, let's quote another Mishnah. So the Mishnah there in Avodah Zarah, another Mishnah, could not say it any clearer. You don't need to be there with constant supervision, just coming in and out and unannounced. And at random times, that's enough to put the fear of you into the non-Jew so that he won't come and touch the wine. And the Mishnah says it not as a b'di'evit standpoint, but clearly l'chatchila. And then you got to wonder, so then how do you then understand the previous Mishnah, which gives the implication that it's only b'di'ev and not l'chatchila? Good, that's a great question. But in the meantime, however, clearly Yotzei V'Nichnas is just as good as Omer Al Gabav. So Ela Amar Rava Hachi Ketani. So Rava says, okay, so here's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to give a bias pshat, but we're going to now just make a slight adjustment based on what we just learned together, that Yotzei V'Nichnas is just as good as Omer Al Gabav. So okay, good. So now the lechatchila of the Mishnah is Yotzei V'Nichnas. As long as you're going in and out, so now the kusi knows that there is supervision, and the spot checking is just as good as being there in a constant presence. So good. So that's the lechatchila of the Mishnah. But let's say There was no supervision whatsoever. You come in after the shechita. You see that the kusi shechted, but not only was there no supervision, not even yotze v'nichnas. So now what do? So now there's still a way to eat the meat. And that is chotei chazayis pasav v'nosen lo. Achla mutal achol m'shechita so. Lo achla asol achol m'shechita so. So good. So in other words, so now just give him the piece of meat to eat. If he eats it, so you know it's kosher because the kusi won't eat nevela. If he doesn't eat it, it's not kosher. Good. Chutz mecher shot v'katan. And now we're just going to keep doing this again and again. Explain all the other sections of the Mishnah. And now, as far as the cher shot of a katan is concerned, dafilu diavinamilo, shema yishu, shema yidrusu, shema yachalidu. Because they may be involved in any one of the psulei shechita. So they cannot shecht unsupervised, and even be diavin, it's not going to be good. V'kulon sheshechtu ahaya. Now, what do you do with the fourth section of the Mishnah? Ilema cher shot of a katan alakai, v'im shechtu mibaylai. So again, the question that keeps repeating itself. If it's only going back on Chershot V'Katan, the better language of the Mishnah transitioning from section 3 to section 4 is V'im Shachtu, Ela Akusi. So it must be going back on the Kusi. But Hamad, Afiliyot V'Nichna Shochet L'Chatchila. Wait one second. Now it's really problematic because according to Rava, Yosef V'Nichna works even L'Chatchila. And now you get to the end of the Mishnah where if you have constant supervision, then it's okay, but only B'Dievet. I don't understand. We've already established that for the Kusi, even Yosef Nechnas works lechatchila, Kasha. So this also ends off with a difficulty. Approach number 4. Ravashi Amar Haki Ketani. Ravashi says, this is how to understand the Mishnah. Hakol shochtim v'afilu yisua mumar. So mumar lamai. So everyone can shechtin even though he's a mumar. Now, right? I know this wouldn't fly in today's day and age. But let's say you have the shochet, and let's say, right, not the best practicing Jew, okay? Let's even go so far as to say that he doesn't even have a beard, okay? Scandal. But in other words, but well beyond that. In other words, he's not practicing Yiddishkeit. He eats not kosher. He eats not kosher. And now it is really really difficult for even us to wrap our head around the idea that the shochet himself is okay, is acceptable, not in kosher, and meanwhile he's going to serve as our shochet. But Ravashi says that's the pshat in our Mishnah. Hakol shochtim v'afilu yisua mumar. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. Let's be clear about what we mean when we say mumar, because mumar simply means that he's not practicing. But it is important to explain why isn't he practicing. Mumar lamai lechol nevel zoteavon uchadurava. Damer Rava yisua mumar ochel nevel zoteavon bodek sakin v'nosen lo umuto lechol mishchita sal. So the Gemara says, well, if he's a mumar ochel nevel zoteavon, and that means as follows. Look at the last Rashi on the Amud, where Rashi writes, L'teavon ki lo mishka cheter achel nevelos. Meaning, as far as his eating of non-kosher is concerned, it is not a philosophical issue. It is just simply, it's an issue of convenience. Right now, I have, it's a bit of an inconvenience to go ahead and get kosher, and so you know what? I'll eat non-kosher. So and now let's imagine everything is equal right now. In other words, you give him a knife, you check the knife to make sure the knife has no nits in it, and you put the knife in his hand. So shachit shapir. So what is he going to do? He'll do good shechita. Dechol kama dematzel amechol hatera lo achli sura, because if everything's equal, he's not going to run and eat non kosher. In other words, all things being equal, he would eat the kosher as much as he would eat the non-kosher. So our mumar ochel nevelos lite avon. It's only because he has the Yetzirah, which, by the way, we all do. That's the way we're all hardwired. So he has the Yetzirah, and for him, and his battle with his Yetzirah, so if everything's equal, so he'll beat his Yetzirah, and he'll eat kosher. But if once there's an inconvenience, once there's some impediment, so then he'll eat non-kosher. So over here in Shechita, how does that manifest itself in Shechita? Explains Rashi. Because imagine he picks up a knife. Oh, you know what? The knife has a nick in it. And now what am I going to do? I'm going to have to take a stone and start sharpening the knife. You know what? The knife is good enough. We'll just do Shechita. We'll do Shechita with this knife. So now that's inconvenient, so he'll Shechita with a knife that's pagum, that'll create a Shechita psula, and the Shechita won't be good. But if you give him a clean knife, and a knife that has no nicks in it, so then of course he's going to Shechita correctly. And that explains Ravashi is the Lechatchila of our Mishnah. That once you hand him a knife, once we know that the knife you handed him is a good knife, So then, mutar lechol mishchitasa. And as Tosfos points out on the top of the Amud, and Gimel Amud Beis, and don't worry about shehiya, hadrasa, and in other words, once you give him the good knife, so then he'll do the shechita correctly. There's nothing, there's no longer an impediment now that we're concerned with. Aval, back to the Gemara. Gimel Amud Beis, top of the Amud. So now that's the lechatchila. But let's say you didn't give him a clean knife, and so therefore he's a mummer ochel nevel sotayavon, and we didn't know that we didn't inspect the knife beforehand. So now what? V'im shachat. Just 1 second. V'im shachat bodek sakino acharav. So then if he shech, so then what we could do is we could check the knife afterwards. Nimse sakino yafa motel lachol mishchitaso v'im lav asol lachol mishchitaso. And if the knife checks out afterwards, then fine. But if the knife does not check out afterwards, so then obviously it's not good. Chutz mecher shot v'katan. And now we have to do this. We're just going to keep going through the Mishnah and play out the pshat of Ravashi through the rest of the Mishnah. Except for cher shot v'katan, dafilu di'evan amilo. Shema yishu, shema yijusu, shema yachalidu. Because again, as far as the child and the other people who are mentally incompetent, so we're concerned that they might render the animal nevela by doing the other psula shchita. V'kulan, and now we're up to the fourth section of the Mishnah. V'kulan sheshachtu ahaya, what is that going on? Ilei mecher shot v'katan alakai v'im shachtu mibayilei. So again, the Gemara reviews for us that the better way to transition from cher shot v'katan to the fourth section, if it was just going on cher shot v'katan, is v'im shachtu. Ela a Yisrael mummer. So the Gemara says it's going back on the Yisrael mummer. So to which the Gemara says, so I don't understand. If you check the knife beforehand and handed to him a pre-checked knife, so that's good. So it must be that we're talking about, well, you didn't check the knife beforehand. So so the Gemara says, now if the knife is there after the shechita, check the knife. And now let's say the knife is not there. Now what? No, the knife is no longer there. So the Dilma Basakin Paguma Shachit. Now, if the knife is not there, and let's say you had someone standing over him the whole time, that doesn't help. Meaning, yes, it's true, the person standing over them can make sure that no Shehiya was done, no Hadrasa was done, no Chalada was done, but whether the knife had a nick in it or not, someone standing and watching over him is not going to be able to see the nick. So the truth of the matter is, it's not going to help. Kasha, and the Gemara leaves off with, you know what, that would be difficult. So Rav Ashi's pshat works out for the first, second, and even third section of the Mishnah, but doesn't fit in so well with the fourth section. Okay. Yes. Ravina, we are up to now the last approach of the Mishnah. But when I say the last, it's like a 5A and a 5B. So we'll call 5 and 6. So Ravina now is going to give his understanding of the Mishnah, and that's as follows. Now, let's be very clear from the front end before we start with Ravina. In order to shech, so there are really two things that you have to have. You have to have a knowledge base, and you have to have experience. Okay? Like any practitioner. Okay? You have to have a knowledge base, and you have to have experience. Otherwise, right, well, in the case of a practitioner, it's not prudent to go to such a practitioner. In the case of a shochet, it's more than not prudent. In other words, the shechita is not good. Now, in the case of a knowledge base, obviously, meaning, right, Tosfos makes the point very clear, because the Gemara later on is going to say it very clearly, right, Tosfos quotes the Gemara later on Daf Tes, called Tabach, Tosfos is later on the summit. That if I have a butcher who doesn't know the hilch, not butcher, but in other words, a shochet. If I have a shochet who doesn't know the hilch shechita, so then he can't shecht. So in other words, the knowledge base is a prerequisite in order to do shechita, otherwise he can't do the shechita. Okay. We're not talking about whether he does or does not have a knowledge base, meaning he has to have a knowledge base. What we're really describing is, what do we know about him? Do we assume that he has a knowledge base, or do we not assume that he has a knowledge base? So that is what is that issue over here. So that's in terms of having the basic knowledge. And as far as the Gemara is concerned, the term to describe that is a mumcha. Now, mumcha usually means expert. Over here, he doesn't have to be a expert. He just has to know the basic halachas of shechita. Otherwise, he can't shecht. Okay. And then experience. Experience, obviously, is also really important. In other words, if you never shecht before, right? I was present at a shechita, but I never shechted before. So what good would I be doing now with a knife in my hand and, you know, just, right? I don't have the experience of life to know how to shecht. And there is always going to be a first time, right? And, right. And so, right, in training, So someone's going to be standing over, and that person while standing over is going to tell us whether the shechita was good or not. But the person by himself, first time, he literally, how does he know? And on top of that, aside from just the practical aspect of experience, there's also a halachic consideration as well. If the person never shechted before, so this is the first time now that he's going to be terminating the life of an animal. Okay, that's called gruesome. Now, the first time you're there, so it's very possible that it's not going to go well. Meaning for you, you may pass out. Now, if you do, and you're the one who's shechting, that creates now a halachic problem. Because, so in the moment where you had a momentary lapse of consciousness, so there you could have led to shehiyah, hadrasa, and everything else that we described earlier, in terms of the psulei shechita during the act of shechting. So obviously now this presents a significant problem if you don't have experience, because you may in fact pass out, and that may lead to psulei hashechita. And that's what's called in the Gemara being a muchsak. So there are two terms for today, in terms of Ravina's answer, that's a mumcha, that's a muchsak. And so now, in terms of understanding Pshat or Mishnah, it's going to go with one of the two. Let's see both of them inside. Ravina Amar Hachi Ketani Hakol Shochtin Hakol Mumchin Shochtin. Anyone who's a mumcha. Now again, what that means is he's a known mumcha. We know he's a mumcha. Mumchen v'afa pishen muchzakim. However, happens to be that as far as experience is concerned, we don't know. We don't know if he had any experience. So b'medvar mamar shiodin bo shiodel amar hechosh chita. But that's only true lechatzchila that he can shecht. If we, the consumer, knows for sure that he knows hechosh chita, he can stay over hechosh chita. Aval in yodin bo shiodel amar hechosh chita lo yishchot. But let's say we don't know. The guy comes into town. Nobody knows anything about him. And right, and now he shechts. So now, lichatchila, he shouldn't have shechted. Right, we shouldn't have allowed him to do so, but he did. Now what? But now it's easy. Now, well, a little faher. Nice. Okay, right. Nice to meet you. Pleasure. Welcome to the community. Okay. You don't mind if we just ask you a few short and brief questions about shechita? Have you heard of this thing called chalada? Okay, and just basic questions. V'im shacha bot kinosom yodel amar yechosh shechita motel lechom shechita so v'im lav asu lechom shechita so. Good. So there's a way to handle the situation b'di'evin if we don't know that he knows yechosh shechita. Chutz mecherishot v'kan. Let me just finish and then I'll pause. Chutz mecherishot v'kan afilu di'evin namilom shemi yishu shemi yijusu shemi yachlidu. Now as far as cherishot v'kan is concerned, so again, the issue over there is that they may disqualify the shechita through one of the psulei shechita. V'kulin sheshachtu ahaya. Now, if there's somebody standing over them, who's the them? So, ilei macherishot v'katan la'akai v'im shachtu mibayilei. So, if it's going on just cherishot v'katan, so the wording of the Mishnah should be v'im, not v'kulan. Ela ashein mumchin. So, bebotin oso sagi. So, the Gemara says, what's talking about the person who's not a mumcha? Again, we don't know if he's a mumcha. So the Gemara says, okay, but we already described how to handle that situation. Ask him questions. So the Gemara says, Delesel Kaman Delivdike. In other words, I'll tell you what happened. Problem is, he came into town, he shechted, he left town, and now no longer available for further questioning. So now, if somebody stood over to see that the shechita was in fact a good shechita, so then it would be good, otherwise the shechita would not be a good shechita. Yeah.
How come you didn't offer the same just as you offered the question, have that guy
The issue over here is not Lifnei Iver. In other words, this person over here is well aware of Lifnei Iver, and he wouldn't be serving it to you if the Shechita went awry. The Kusi does not hold of Lifnei Iver. That's the difference.
But I mean, the test is still the same test, no?
No.
If you just eat, then you know that the guy is not
the... No. In other words, but we don't even need him to eat it. In other words, if he's there, all we need to do is just question him. And that would be enough. Iga de Amri, the Gemara now gives a sixth approach to the Mishnah. It's also Ravina, just another version of Ravina, and it's really the inverted version of the previous one. And not mumche, but rather mochzak. So Ravina Amar Hachi Ketani, Akol Shochtin, Akol Mochzakin Shochtin. So in other words, what do we need to know, the consumer population? We need to know that he has experience, that he shechted before, and he didn't pass out. Now, as far as his knowledge base is concerned, we don't know anything and we don't need to know anything. But again, I want to make this point as clearly as possible. He needs to know Hilchot Shechita. The issue is not what he knows. The issue is what we know about him. Do we know that he went to Yeshiva and he learned up the Masech Techulin and Yoredeya and Tur and Shulchan Aruch, etc., etc.? So, according to this pshat, we don't need to know. It's not, as long as he knows, that's good enough. So Bamedvar Mamor Sheshach Tulafanin Beis Vigim Upan Velonis Aleph. Now, in terms of experience is concerned, what does experience mean? Experience means that he shechted already numerous times. The Gemara over here says two and three, two or three. And obviously, in other words, if you're reading the Gemara critically, you got to wonder, is it two or is it three? But in any event, he shechs, you know, we'll speak the way you and I speak. He shechs two or three times in front of us, and he hasn't passed out, so good. So now we know that he checks out. He could do it. But if he has not shecht in front of us previously, and so this is the first time we're watching him shecht, so we shouldn't let him do so. However, if after he shechts, he says, you know what? I know you never saw me shecht before, but I'm telling you that I didn't pass out, so the Gemara says that would be good. And now, as far as the third section of the Mishnah is concerned, same explanation. Because they may disqualify the Shechita. Now, the Kulan Sheshachtu, what is that going on? It can't be going on Chereshot V'Katan, because it should, then the Mishnah should have said V'im Shachtu. So it's talking about somebody with no experience. So the Gemara says, if he had no experience, again, we don't know about his experience. So then what do? We ask him. And that would be good enough. Gemara explains the Lesa Kaman Delishaile. The Gemara says, well, the last case of the Mishnah is talking about a case where he was no longer available for questioning. So then, under those circumstances, if somebody was there to supervise and see him shecht and see that he didn't pass out, so then we're good. Otherwise, it's no good. Okay. Adkan. That now takes us to the end of this section of Gemara, in which we have now presented six different explanations. So let's review. And in terms of review, so the Gemara is going to do it for us, because what the Gemara now is going to do is explain why each of the Amoraim didn't appreciate or didn't explain the Mishnah the way the other Amoraim did. Now, there are holes to pick in every one of the Pshatim that were offered in the Mishnah. Excuse me. And in doing so, it also gives us a great opportunity to review all the various opinions in the that we saw between yesterday and today. Ravina, v'rava bar'ula, ke'abai v'rava ravashi lo armi mishum dekashi lohu. V'kulan, v'kulan. As far as not going with the pshad of either Rava or Abaye or Ravashi, is because we don't need to overthink this. As Rava and Abaye and Ravashi, each one of them presented their explanation of the Mishnah, they got caught at the end of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah said the words V'kulan, what is that going on? It's not just going on Chereshot V'Katan. It's going on all the cases of the Mishnah, even the first case of the Mishnah. But then Omer Agabav is more than what we need. And each time we presented their positions already in the Gemara ended off with the words Kasha. So, okay, good. So as far as the other Amoraim concerned, right, that Kasha is registered. Good. Now, kulu kerabba bar ula lo amrei. Now, as far as giving the first pshat in the Mishnah, where the lechatchila is talking about chulin shenasa taras hakodesh, and the bidyevet is talking about carbon itself, so what was the? Why wouldn't the other amoraim give such a pshat? Gemara explains. Lahachlish and damar hachayikar. So let's say, remember what bothered us about that pshat? The Mishnah is here in chulin. The Mishnah is already back in zvachim, and so what should be the primary location? So with the argument that really here's the primary location, the counter-argument would be, no, it's not. Adarabah. Hasam ikar debekashim kai. We're talking about karbanos. If we're talking about karbanos, that belongs in Zvachim, not here in Chulin. And so therefore, that if Rabbah was right, then our Mishnah is talking about karbanos, it has no business being the first Mishnah of Chulin. And la'achlish, the damart hasam ikar v'hacha, I did the tanitame b'chulin, tananami tame b'mukdashin. And according to the one that says that really here it's Iker, and over there, I'm sorry, there is the Iker, and over here it just comes incidentally, since we talked about Chulin, so therefore we're also talking about Karbanos as well. So, Mugdashim, Tame b'chulin gufe lo itzrich lei. Chulin shenasa taras kodesh lavka kodesh dami. The Gemara says, well, if that's true, I don't even need our Mishnah for Chulin shenasa taras kodesh, because our Mishnah is of the opinion that Chulin Shenasa al Taras HaKodesh does not have the status of Kodesh, but rather has the status of Chulin, and so therefore it really has no business being in Kashim whatsoever. Okay, so so that is why the Gemara does not prefer the Peshat of Rabbah. Kulu Kiravina Lo Amri. Now, as far as Ravina is concerned, now remember, there are two versions of Ravina. One is where we don't know about the Shochet's knowledge base, and two is we don't know about his experience. Lahachlish and damra mumchin in shein mumchin lo rov mitzuyin etzo shchita mumchin hein. So the Gemara says the reason why we would reject Ravina is because, well, remember, what did Ravina say? What if we don't know about his knowledge base? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what we say about that. We assume rov mitzuyin etzo shchita mumchin hein. We have a, let's call it an umdana. Let's just call it a reality. You want to call it a rove, which is very good because the Gemara calls it a rove. But in other words, it's an acceptable assumption. You see a guy with a knife in front of an animal, shechting, he knows what he's doing. Right? Like the example I've given already numerous times. You see a surgeon doing surgery, he knows what he's doing. Meaning it's a general assumption you can make. Yeah, and every now and then you can get shocked with a story. Can you imagine? Did you hear? Okay, good. The anecdotal stories, but don't speak to the general assumptions that we make in life, which are acceptable assumptions to make. The person there who's shechting, he knows what he's doing. And lahachlish and damra muchzakin in shein muchzakin lo. And even the second pshat of Ravina that we don't know about his experience. Well, let me tell you, la'alufi lo chayshinan. We're not worried about people passing out. Yeah, the stories about people passing out. But the ruba, most of the time a person's going to shecht and it's not going to pass out. Good. So that is two reasons why to reject Ravina. Rava lo amar ka Abaye ki kushe. Now, as far as Rava is concerned, Rava didn't accept Abaye's pshat because remember, Abaye made a distinction between constant supervision and right spot checking and Yosef and Nechnas. And remember what Rava said? Rava said it's the same thing halachically. So Abaye lo amar ka Rava. Hasam lo naga hachanaga. Now, as far as Abaye's rejection of Rava, it's interesting. The Gemara mentioned this earlier, but what was Rava's counter argument? Why did Rava reject Abaye? Because of those Mishnayos in Avodah Zarah. Abaye would say back to Rava, and now explains the Gemara, you're quoting me Mishnayos from Avodah Zarah? Meaning, what was the concern over there? Did the non-Jew touch the wine, yes or no? So there, in terms of Avodah Zarah and wine is concerned, Yotzei v'nichnas is just as good as Omid Agabav. If he doesn't know when you're walking in, and you can walk in at any point in time, he's not going to touch the wine. Over here, let's consider what we're talking about. The knife is in his hand. He's shechting the animal. So over here, I could see a big difference between Yotzei v'nichnas and Omid Agabav. So, right, Hasam lo naga. There, in the case of Avodah Zarah, the non-Jew didn't touch the wine. And Yotzei v'nichnas would be enough of a deterrent to make sure he doesn't touch the wine. But hacha naga. But here the knife is in his hand, and he's shechting the animal. I can easily see a difference. Ravashi lamar katavayu kasavakusim geiraya saying, as far as Ravashi rejecting the pshat of Abaye and Rava, so it's very simple. Ravashi would say, do you know why our mishnah has nothing to do with a kusi? Because Ravashi is of the opinion that a kusi is not a good convert. The conversion was a forced conversion, and therefore they have the status of a non-Jew, and a non-Jew cannot shech. Period. Abaye lo amar ka Ravashi. Lo sphere leha de Rava. Now, as far as Abaye not subscribing to Ravashi, where Ravashi explained our Mishnah as a mummer ochel nevel flateavon, so it could very well be, says the Gemara, that Abaye doesn't hold of Rava. Rava told us that a mummer ochel nevel flateavon, as long as you check the knife and give it to him, so he could do the shechita. Abaye would say, I don't agree with that. So, ela Rava, my time alo amar kishmaite, but wonderful question of the Gemara. Do you know that Ravashi's answer is predicated on Rava? So, of the ways to explain the Mishnah, why didn't Rava explain to his the Mishnah based on the statement made by Rava? Rava told us that if I check the knife and I give it to the mummer, ochal neveis l'te'avon, so the shechita would be good. So why doesn't Rava go back to our Mishnah and explain the Mishnah in that manner? What a wonderful question. Gemara answers, l'dvarav da'abai kamar v'leilo sfirale. When he was retorting to Abaye, he wasn't giving his own position of how to explain the Mishnah. He was just saying to Abaye, I don't like this idea that you just equated a Yosef v'nichnas, you differentiated between a Yosef v'nichnas and a Nomen al-Gabav. And on that, I take issue with that. I object to that. But in terms of saying pshat in the Mishnah, so for as far as you're concerned, I tweak your pshat. As far as I'm concerned, I have a whole different pshat to give, notably, a mummer, ochel neveil s'teavon.